You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
That which you want to explore, moving towards a higher emotional state of being, moving towards the culmination of all of your desires and to finding the passion, all you have to do is maintain how you feel in the moment. All you have to do is think about how you feel in the moment. All you have to do is choose to look at everything from a higher perspective. Find that alignment. And when you're out of alignment, understand that, hey, this is a time for me to figure out a limiting belief. The only way that I could ever be in a limited or negative emotional state of being, the only way that could ever happen is if I have a limiting belief. And that limiting belief has been triggered somehow. I'm worried about not having enough money. I'm worried about not finding my passion. I'm worried that things aren't coming fast enough. I'm concerned with this. I'm bothered by this. I don't like this. I hate this. I want to change that. All these things stem from a limiting belief. And coincidentally, that limiting belief is the reason that you're not a vibrational match to what you want. Okay. And so the universe is clever. It figures this out that, okay, on one hand, we have this passion, this desire waiting. On the other hand, we have a person who is not quite a vibrational match. And really the reason they're not a vibrational match is because of the limiting beliefs. If we can modulate those limiting beliefs, well, then her vibration raises and then she becomes a match. So imagine that you had the belief that all wealthy people were rotten scoundrels. It would be very hard for you to take the steps necessary to become wealthy, because you would think that by becoming wealthy, you step into that thing you don't want to be, which is a dirty scoundrel. So here you are, having this goal, but having a belief that doesn't match that desire, right? And so the universe says, we don't care what her beliefs are now. We're going to take her step by step by step, and we're going to allow her the opportunity to see how her beliefs are limiting. And if she takes the information that the universe is offering her, then she can change how she's being. She can say, no, that's not true. That limiting belief is false. It doesn't apply to me. It's never applied to me. It doesn't make any sense. And in proving that it doesn't apply to you, you dial it down. You turn it down. So the intensity is lowered. When the intensity of a limiting belief is lowered, then your vibration raises and you become more of a match to your passion. Now, that allows you to receive inspiration to take a step. Take a step. And that step might lead right into another manifestation event so that you can find another limiting belief, so that you can do this whole process over again, so that you can get back into alignment, get more information, more inspiration, another step, another step, another step, and finally you find your passion or manifested your desire. Okay. That's simply how the system works. Find alignment and be patient and let it happen. Now, if you find yourself receiving inspiration and then being too scared to act on that inspiration, well, then you're not quite ready to find your passion, are you? You have a limiting belief that's preventing you from moving forward, from taking these steps. So this is the process. Every single manifestation, every single desire that comes into your reality, every single passion, every single thing you think you want, or everything you think you truly want, comes the same way. You find your alignment. You receive the inspiration. You get moved into a situation, and a situation is going to expose a limiting belief. You process the limiting belief so that you get back into alignment, and then you receive another exciting idea, another interesting idea, another thought, maybe I should call this person. Maybe I should read this book. Maybe I should read this article. Maybe I should get this group together. Maybe I should do this and this and that. Maybe I should travel here. You've done thousands of exciting, interesting, joyful things. You've already done them. You've done many, many, many of them. And you're taking steps every day. But because you have this anxiety around, what should I be doing now? Shouldn't I be doing something? When's it going to come? Well, it just makes it seem like it's not coming. But you're on your path. Everything's working out perfectly. It's all coming.
Trust, trust, trust.
Trust, but pay attention. Okay. Pay attention to the inspiration that you get, and then pay attention to whether you're taking the step or not.
Okay.
Now, a fun way to do this, we think it's fun because because we have nothing else to do. But a fun way to do this is to pay attention to the inspiration. Anytime you get a thought about a friend, anytime you get a thought about researching something on the internet, anytime you get a thought about traveling here, buying this, going there, write these things down. And then next to it, check to see if you did or not. What was the step? Did you do the step? Why not? Why didn't you do the step? What was the fear? Is the fear based on a limiting belief? What's the limiting belief? That's the work. If you want to go smoothly towards everything, that's the work. Okay. Find as many limiting beliefs as you can. Allow the universe to put you in as many situations as you can. Push yourself through these fears as much as you can. And do far more things than you think it's possible for you to do.
Okay.
Until you're stuck in negative emotion because you're overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right? So you're moving from boredom to doing things, overwhelmment, to slowing things down to boredom, to moving towards other things, to overwhelmment, to slowing things down to boredom. Always back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, pushing, pushing, pushing.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I find my pushing is I'm not doing it yet. Why am I not seeing it? Why am I not hearing it? Why isn't it here? A lot of times
it's because you're not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting these random thoughts that you just think pop in your head, and you don't realize they're inspiration.
Okay.
So this is a really fun topic. Now, imagine you're sitting here, and you get an idea, and then you think, really a good idea, or is that a crazy idea? Does that idea make any sense at all? Or is it something I shouldn't be doing? Well, if you are in a high-flying emotional state of being, then we would say it's a great idea, no matter what it is, and that you can move in the direction of it. You can move, take one step towards it. Now, if you're saying, when is this passion going to come? I'm so bored. Things should be happening faster now. And then you get an idea. Now, that could be an urge to change the condition.
Right, the old change conditions, yeah.
So figure out where you stand. Are you in a above that emotional horizon line? Are you in a state of alignment? If so, that's an inspired idea. You can move towards that idea. If it's an idea to change the conditions because you don't like what's happening right now, or are you being called to something more? You can be called to something that seems scary. And you may say, no, that's a crazy idea. Where did that come from? But if you're in a high vibrational emotional state of being, well, that idea is always for your benefit and will always, always work to your highest good. Whether that is right into your passion or right into a manifestation event that gets you closer to your passion.
Okay. So I have a journal, and every morning when I'm doing my quiet time, I'm making notes and blah, blah, blah. And if I have an inspiration of something, I write it in the upper right-hand corner. I think I've got hundreds of pages of things, and they're all very similar, but I haven't done anything about them. So I guess I go back in a high state, in a high alignment state, and I start reviewing those and seeing what.
So you're receiving inspiration but not taking action.
Yeah, okay. All right.
You're not alone. It's a very common thing. And it's a common thing because most humans don't realize what's happening here. They don't realize who they truly are. They don't realize how the system works. They don't believe that they're worthy of these ideas. They think that they tend to think too many steps ahead, and that scares them. Where are they going to get the money for this? Who are they to do this? That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
you know a little more now, yet there's still some momentum from the old approach to life. Well, you can say, hey, I got inspiration to call this person. Just call the person.
Right.
Don't let yourself be stopped by saying, oh, they're probably busy. Oh, give me a long phone call. Oh, you know,
right.
Blah, blah, blah. Right.
Okay.
Very right. good.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, Joshua, it's Wendy.
Hello, Wendy.
Okay, I want to get your take on something more than actually a question. On the eve of my birthday, I had a tremendous migraine. And as I'm learning, with these migraines come great messages, right? So I listened very carefully, and I came up with a message that the migraines and any other pains that I'm feeling are a tension between my strong desires and strong resistance of desires, okay? So I thought more about that, and I came up with there's parts of me that I still don't love unconditionally, and I'm holding love from these parts of me. Can you elaborate on that for me, please?
You're holding love from these parts of you because you believe that if you love these parts of you, those parts will not improve to your ideal.
Oh, okay. And then also came up the fact of mirroring, seeing with other people, like judging other people or saying, oh, I wish they wouldn't do that. I wish I wouldn't be seeing those parts of me that I'm not loving.
Do you want to go back to your childhood?
Okay.
Your parents, like most parents, are conditional lovers.
Right.
Because they believe if they love the parts of you that were bad, then those would never change. Mm. And if those parts didn't change, then you couldn't be a good member of society. You couldn't be good. Mm. And if you couldn't be good, then they couldn't feel good. Mm. Now, a lot of this is unconscious. Certainly, if they didn't say something about your table manners, your outbursts, you're crying, you're
talking to animals.
You're talking to animals. You're, you know, selfish behavior. Mm. Selfish behavior in children. When children come in, they understand that this is their universe and that the universe revolves around them and that they're here to experience an individual, unique expression of physical reality, one that's never been experienced before. And yeah, that's the most important thing in the universe. But in a society where there's a lot of fear around being seen as selfish or self-centered, people want to beat that out of you or coerce that out of you. And so you tend to do the same thing to yourself. There's an aspect of you that you think could be better, that there's an ideal in your mind of what it would be like. And if you had that aspect of you meet up with this ideal, then your life would be better. And so you don't love that aspect of yourself because if you loved it, it would stay the same. Well, in this reality, the reverse is true. If you love it, it becomes your ideal.
Mm.
If you hate it, it stays the same.
Well, if I totally love it, counterintuitive. It becomes my ideal. Yeah. Elaborate more on that. If I love it, it becomes my ideal.
Do you want to tell us one thing you don't love about yourself?
You know, that's a good point because I overeat.
Okay. What is overeating? Do you mean that everyone's done and you're still eating and you're eating all their scraps and they have to wait for you because you eat another 4 hours after them?
Protect your food, people. No. I eat when I'm not hungry and I eat things that don't make me feel good.
Okay. But why do you do that?
I think it's stress or trying to fill myself up.
And why do you do that? So you're looking at the symptom of something much deeper, you know.
Why
do you care? You know, why do you care if you eat when you're not hungry? What is that? Who cares about that?
I want to be fitter.
Why?
Fit. Because I think I'll feel better. Okay, so feel better first and stop worrying about what I'm eating.
Yeah, feel better first. Now, why don't you feel good?
Because I'm beating myself up for eating things I shouldn't.
No, there's something else.
Right.
Why don't you feel good?
I don't know.
Well, what's your excuse for not feeling good?
Oh, I have a migraine.
Okay, that's one excuse, and that's not even an excuse because that's a message.
Right. But
what are you focusing on that causes you not to feel good?
What other people think?
Well, how do you know what they think? Because you're making that up. You don't know what they think. You've never even asked anyone what they think. Have you ever sat down with anyone and asked them to write out 5 pages of what they think about you?
No.
So how do you know what they think if you haven't done that? That's, you know, you could go to, let's just say, the top 50 people that you know. Mm-hmm. And you could ask them each to write a not a big book, but maybe 80 pages about you and what they think about you. And then you would know. But you'd only know for that minute anyway. And then once you started reading about it, it would all be glowing, wonderful things about you. Because no one's going to sit down and write anything negative about you, knowing that you're going to read it, right?
Okay, well, what about then when I judge other people for overeating?
Okay, why do you care what other people eat? Who do you judge?
I judge Tom.
You judge Tom for overeating?
Yes.
And if Tom didn't overeat, how would that make you feel?
It would make me feel good.
Right. So you're not judging Tom. You just want to figure out a way to feel good.
Okay.
And you just think that's the way to do it.
Right. So do you think this stuff has correlations with my strong desires to grow and expand, but my strong resistances in these little day-to-day mundane things?
Imagine that you are working towards the authentic version of Wendy.
Yes.
While still living a physical reality. See, everyone's working towards the authentic version of them, but most people will make it until they transition. Yeah. Imagine that you make it before you transition. And imagine that that is a desire that you intended prior to your birth. And imagine that you're on that path, very far along that path right now. Yeah. And imagine further that you know more about how physical reality works, you know more about who you truly are, and that you see now the difference between who you authentically could be, the higher ideal version of you, and who you're being. And that is that tension that you're talking about.
Oh.
And the tension is caused by these limiting beliefs you adopted along the way. And the messages that you're receiving are that none of that stuff matters, that nothing outside of you is ever going to make you feel good, ever. It'll never. It can't. It's not possible. It doesn't work in this reality. Nothing outside of you can make you feel good. Now, if you look in the mirror one day and you feel good about what you see, guess what happened there? It's not a weird mirror. It's not that you suddenly look the way you thought you always wanted to look. It's that you finally accepted how you do look. And in the acceptance of how you do look, well, then all of a sudden, there's no need to eat it anymore. There's no need to, do things that are out of balance with who you are. There's none of that. That just all falls away. Because guess what? If you don't like an aspect of yourself, well, you're putting attention on that. You're focusing on that. Your beliefs are about that. Your beliefs are saying, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like this. The universe is hearing, I love this, I love this, I love this, exactly how it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's where your attention is. And so guess what? You have to eat.
Mm.
You have to overeat. You can't not overeat. And where are these thoughts that come to your head? Where do they come in? Are you producing the thoughts to say, hey, let's get a snack? No. That's being sent to you by the universe. So that you can maintain what you're doing.
Because it thinks it's what I want.
There is no good or bad. There's only what is. Everything's neutral. You make the judgment. The universe doesn't know if something's good or bad. How could the universe know if something's good or bad if there is no good or bad? It's not designed that way. You get to judge based on what you personally prefer. But if you're focused in a way, why doesn't this change? Why I would feel so much better if this was different. The universe doesn't know that. The universe just says that you are putting a lot of time and energy and momentum and focus of attention on something, whatever that is. And the universe assumes if you're putting all your attention on that thing, that you want more of that thing. And so you get these inspiring ideas to eat a snack. You get these inspiring cravings. you get this sense of you need to eat more so that you can maintain what you have now. Now, if you gave all that up and just focus on what you personally enjoy, which is whatever that is, well, now those thoughts stop coming as often.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And the same thing with the migraines is not to focus on that, but to focus on how much I enjoy feeling good.
Well, there's momentum behind the migraines too.
Yeah.
Think of it the same way. You get a migraine, you get to be, have something to talk about.
Yeah.
You get to be relieved of being bubbly. You don't have to be the bubbly person that you are.
Yeah.
You can exist in a state of, you know, honoriness.
Mm.
And people give you some room around there. Oh, right. She has a migraine. Give her her space. We understand.
Ah, interesting. Yeah.
You get to use that.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank
Problem
you.
Solved.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you. Check that one off the list.
Thank you.
Hi, Joshua. It's Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hi. I have a question. So recently I've been thinking about quitting one of the many places I work at. It's like my Monday morning thing. I've been doing it for a really long time, but I can't tell really if I'm doing this from a place of inspiration or just me being impulsive, because I've been impulsive my whole life. Like I just kind of get something in my brain and I just do it and I don't really think about it too much. And I'm wondering.
That is the most brilliant way of living that you can be. Now, if you're in a positive emotional state of being and you get an impulse, then that's an inspiration. If you're in a negative state of being and you get an impulse, then that's an urge to change the condition. If you act on an urge to change the condition because you think that it's bad, wrong, that it's despicable, that it should never have been there in the first place, that you need to change things, well, that's never going to lead you to what you want. If you act on inspiration, it's always going to lead you to what you want. So all you have to do is figure out, are you in an aligned state of being or are you in a negative state of being?
Well, I'm a little confused because I do feel some negative feelings, but I think they're just based out of fears, like guilt, because I love the people I work with. I don't even know how I'm going to tell them. Okay. I feel pressure.
Let's talk about that. That's a fantastic idea. Now, you have the inspiration, and then you think about the ramifications of action taken on that inspiration. So then you feel fear. Now, that's entirely different than acting on an urge to change the condition. If you have an urge to change the condition, like you have the urge to punch a wall, and you have fear about punching the wall, then that's a very good thing because you could break your hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you have inspiration to do something and you have a fear about taking that step towards something that's going to be for your benefit, then that fear is not useful because it's an irrational fear. Now, so you have an inspiring idea to quit this one thing that you're doing, possibly so they can it can lead you to something else. But you don't know what that is. You can't see that far down the road. You have no idea where you're going for this. You just had the idea to quit that thing, which frees up time to do something else. And in the mental processing of that idea, you come across scary situations. And those scary situations are based on limiting beliefs about yourself. So you would feel guilty?
Yeah, I mean, and yes, a lot of the people we've connected with and bonded with. I also, though, don't know if I had fear initially. Like, if I stayed there, my fear would have been I won't evolve as a trainer, as an instructor. Maybe there's better opportunities. So I can't really tell between the two. But, yeah, I have guilt. And then okay. I also have a little bit of fear that I'm not filling in that time wisely. Like now okay. I feel pressure, like I better fill that gap in doing something good.
We've got two limiting beliefs here, right? So let's talk about the guilt limiting belief.
All right.
Okay. Why you know that guilt is a negative emotion. And so you also know that all negative emotions are false. Mm-hmm. So that that points to some limiting belief about yourself. Because without this limiting belief being in existence, you couldn't feel guilt. It would not be possible. So the limiting belief is that what? You should fulfill your obligations. You should maintain your loyalty. Can you point to what that might be?
Yeah, just disappointing the members that have stayed with me this long there. And
so you know. If you disappointed them, what would happen? What's the worst thing that could happen? Would they kill you? Would they rise up and...
No, but some of them say I only come here because of you and blah blah blah. But you know, I know I'm sure if another instructor came in, it'd be fine. But
yeah. Okay, so you realize that this limiting belief can be dialed down. They're not going to kill you. They're not going to have anything bad happen to them. It's going to be all right. It'll be fine. That people change all the time. They don't expect you to be there forever. That
that's
the
true.
Time that you were there was great, and they got to experience that, and they're in a new place right now, and everyone's ready. So if you have an inspiring idea, it is also for the benefit of everyone else as well.
True.
You can be assured that they are going to go on and everything's going to work out for them.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
So now the other limiting belief is, are you filling this time wisely, right? You're not going to be making money in that time slot. Right. What's going to happen there? Okay, so this is another limiting belief that you need to have the answer. You can't have the answers. You can't know what step two until you've taken step one.
Right.
It's not possible. The reason it's not possible is because you're a vibrational match just for this one action. That's it. You're not a vibrational match to the 10 steps beyond that. That's therefore you can't see it. Therefore, all you can do is have faith that you're being led in the right direction. So when you process these and you take this action, you've simultaneously gained confidence through the taking of the action, moved to a step, increased your vibration, and you've dialed down two important limiting beliefs that don't serve you. Once you've taken that step, you're at a new place. In that new place, you receive the next inspiration. And that could be a phone call from someone who wants to start their own studio, or right. from someone who wants to start making YouTube videos and turn you into a YouTube star.
Okay.
That's me. I want to do that. I just made a note to myself. But yeah, do it.
So you aren't vibrationally ready to be a YouTube star. This is the first step. And then you can't even imagine what that's like. In fact, even thinking that far down the road is scary. Right. And then you'll have to fill in all the blanks. All right. What do I do? How do I do this? Blah, blah, blah. Instead of just taking one step at a time, because YouTube star might not be it. We mm-hmm. just made that up. It could be something totally different.
Right. Okay.
So this was a brilliant conversation because it illustrates perfectly what we're talking about here. Maintain this feeling good. Receive these ideas and then take the first step. Right. Process the fears as they come up, and they always will. And identify if you're really feeling good or if you're trying to change the conditions. We believe in this instance, you're feeling good. The fear came after the idea. That's how you know.
Oh, that's good. Well, why do I always look for validation? Like I'm always asking Trevor, I'm like, do you think this is good? I mean, like, what am I going to do with my time there and that? So I don't even know. And I was asking another instructor, I'm like, do you think, I don't know, why am I? And I even asked you guys, because I want that validation. I'm doing the right thing. What is that? Like, why can't I just be okay? Like, I'm just going to stop this job and just be okay with it and just have some time for myself and let whatever happens, happens. I don't know why I need that validation.
You don't need it at all. You don't need it at all. You just aren't confident yet, but you will be. Use us as a device all you like, because we are going to tell you the truth. Use Trevor as a device if you like, but do not care what he says. It doesn't matter what he says. Use other trainers, but realize the other trainers are operating on the old approach to life.
That's true.
Yeah. So take whatever you need to take to get to wherever you need to go. Talk to whoever you do, but just do it to get where you want to go. Just do it as a device, like a parachute.
Right. Yeah. And by the way, this kind of connects to the last question I had. Remember, I was like all upset about not getting that one job at this one place. And she's like, oh, we're good. And I'm like, now my plan like B for quitting one place, going to the other didn't work out. But I see that I'm still making that step. I didn't need a backup plan. I'm just going forward, and I'm not worrying about what's happening kind of next, really. So that kind of connected all the dots there, too.
The backup plan could also be a device. What's the worst could happen? If the worst happened, I still have plan B. That allows you to move forward to plan A.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I have a story. But I hate that I have, like, nothing to say to anybody. They're going to be like, well, why are you quitting? It's like, I don't know. I just feel like I want to. That's horrible to people that, like, count on me. Like, I guess that's another thing. I'm like, I have to make up a story. Like, I have family obligations or something. I think that's what I'm going to say. I mean, I don't really know what else to say.
What story you make up. That story could come true.
Yeah.
That's true. Oh, yeah. So what am I supposed to say just because I want to?
I am on my journey to become a YouTube star.
You can find me there, yeah.
I just won the lottery, and I no longer need any money. I am fully supported by a loving universe who told me to do this. Mm. Yeah. Whatever you want to do, but make sure the story is empowering.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
Now, why do you want to make a story in the first place? Are you worried about their
feelings? I feel like there needs to be a reason.
Oh, you mean like they don't get to find out their own limiting beliefs themselves?
I guess right? so.
You're going to solve that problem for them. You're going to say, I'm going to make up a story so that they will not be thrust into a manifestation event. Right?
Yeah.
But why do you care? Let them get into the manifestation event. It's for them. If they feel fear, which they probably won't, but if they feel a tinge of negative emotion based on a minor limiting belief, well, at least they get the chance to identify that. See, if you start tiptoeing around on eggshells around everyone, worried about how they might react, well, then that's certainly not authentic yourself, and it's certainly not helping them at all, ever.
Yeah, that's true. I've been trying to control it, too. I've been trying to have, like, a backup instructor for when I'm gone. And so, you're right, I shouldn't. Why am I doing that?
It has to be a match to them. Anyway.
Right.
And this,
you're right.
This urge to soften the blow is going to make things complicated and stressful.
It is stressful. I feel like I'm having anxiety for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, you're feeling too many things, right? So here you say, I am an authentic being. I understand that I'm on a unique path. I don't want to control this path because as I control it, I limit it. I want it to be a limitless journey to do exactly what I do before I came here. And so I'm going to take the inspiration, process the fear, and be as authentic as I can all the way through it. If I have a device here and there, I'm going to make it an empowering device. But I'm not going to worry about what other people are going to think. I'm not going to worry about the owner of the studio. I'm not going to worry about the patrons. I'm going to let them process their fears. Sure, they could have some fears. But it's not up to me to soften their blow. Same is true with your children. It's not up to you to soften the blow.
Right.
It's up to them to learn to process their fears and not to rely on mommy and daddy to make everything comfy and safe.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that was so good. Yes, that helps me big time. I think, before I was thinking about what I'm going to say, and now I just need to be me. I think they'll accept that better than anything.
I don't know why I'm doing this.
I'm just going crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Excellent. Who's next?
Hi, Joshua. This is Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
Well, I'm coming in on the tail end of that discussion because it was perfect for me. So you say that I don't need to soften the blow for my son, and I need to tell him this week that I'm moving out in September. And I don't know. He probably suspects. But so let's just talk a little bit about this because I basically know what you're going to say. You're going to say
What do you want? What do you want?
I want him to not feel negative
emotions.
Because
why?
Because then I'll feel bad.
Right. So you want to figure out how to feel good yourself.
Yeah.
That's all you want to do. So figure it out.
Yeah. I don't like I'm afraid all the time. I'm afraid to confront people and stand up for myself. I do it anyway, but it just takes so much effort for me.
It takes a bit of processing of fear and realigning yourself and looking at things from another perspective. It takes a bit of work. a bit of work that, because you're sensitive, exposes you to negative emotion.
Yeah.
So you could live your whole life shuttered, small, not doing what you want to do, being safe, not upsetting anyone around you so that you can feel good. Mm-hmm. Or you can get better at processing your own negative emotions.
Yeah. And you know,
you could live the life you want to live.
I am, you know what? I am living the life I want to live, and I'm going to keep living the life I want to live. You know, but here in this physical reality, you know, we're attached. We're attached to people, and my son is really
attached. Remember that that is all coming from a limited perspective.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's real. This attachment business is tough. We just came back from a week's vacation, and I came back to my house, and I was looking at my house, and I'm attached to my house. Like, I'm going to miss my house. You know, I mean.
Why? Why are you going to miss your house?
It's just so pretty. There's just so many things I like about it.
So you're used to picking up on the positive aspects of your house. Believe us when we tell you that you see about 0.1% of all that's going on in your house. And you are just really good at focusing on the positive aspects of that house. And you can be really good at focusing on the positive aspects of everything.
Yeah.
Of course, people would call you a loon because you have nothing but positive judgments of everything. Oh, this is so beautiful. Oh, look at this leaf. This leaf is incredible. Don't you believe I've ever seen my life. You can do that all day long. So there's some, you know, mixing it up that has to go along.
Absolutely.
But when you say, I'm moving into a barren, basic apartment with nothing good to look at, we say that's a choice you're making in your head.
Yeah, and that's not true, and that's not how I perceive it. What I actually am getting excited about is that sense of freedom and the adventure. I'm really getting excited about that. So here's the thing. So when my son says to me, why are you doing this? Because I don't know. Because I don't
are
know.
Are you going to tell you? Do you know why you're doing it?
Yes, I know, but I can't tell him why.
Okay. Then you're going to have to make up a story. Make sure that story is empowering.
Yeah, obviously. I kind of like to say something like, well, mommy just doesn't feel like being married fits anymore. Or right now it doesn't fit. Something like that. I mean, if I say I'm seeking freedom and a sense of adventure, I'm not sure he'll go with that.
Why does he have to go with it?
Exactly. He's going to be mad at me either way. But I have to give him some reason.
So are you going to give him the reason that you think, from your perspective, he will see from his perspective as valid?
I don't know. I have no idea. I can't mind read.
You can't mind read. So how can you even begin? What you could do is be authentic. Be authentic.
Okay.
I've had a wonderful time in this relationship with your father and you. We've built a wonderful house. We've built a nice 20-odd years together, and it's been the time of my life. And now your father and I are ready for something different. It has nothing to do with you. We love you as we always did. You're going on to your thing, and we're going on to our things, and life is not meant to stay the same forever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you say to him that I'm doing something wrong because this marriage didn't last forever, then you're promoting a stereotype that literally goes against the laws of the universe.
Okay.
Nothing lasts forever. Nothing is meant to last forever. It's meant to last as long as it's a vibrational match.
Yeah.
If you feel guilty for walking away for change, well, if you knew how much change was taking place, you'd just be living in guilt your whole life because you're changing all the time. You're not the same person you were when your son was 3 years old. You're a completely different person. But that's good because he was a match to every minute of you. As he changed, as you changed, as your husband changed, as the town around you changed, as the world changed, you were a match to all of it. Now you're a match to something else. And by holding on in fear of what other people will think to something that no longer a match to, well, you're just gonna create tension and the tensions go stronger and stronger and stronger until finally you snap. And then instead of leaving in a state of love and appreciation for what you shared and moving towards new possibilities, mm-hmm. you create resentment and anger and animosity. Mm. And you do not do any service to the relationship you had the past 20 years.
Okay.
You make it as if that 20 years was a waste of time if you create this animosity. And so by saying things like the marriage is ruined, it didn't last, it's mm-hmm. you say the whole 20 years before was no good. Well, that's not true at all.
No, of course not. Yeah. It's good still. It's beautiful. We have a great relationship. Yeah. I'm just not a match to that anymore.
You're just not a match to how it was before. You're a match to something new.
Hey, I have one more question. And I know you said that nothing outside of ourselves can make us feel good. And I suppose that works with make us feel bad as well. So my question is, you know, there was a lunar eclipse on Friday. Okay. It was like the longest lunar eclipse in 100-something years.
It took us weeks to set that up.
Okay. Well, you know, everybody was kind of talking about it and saying it's going to affect you and all that kind of stuff. And I
totally
probably.
You're completely changed as a result of that. Did you see it?
Well, I couldn't see it because it was cloudy where we were, but
you're saved from change. No change for
no, you. But I totally dipped down into a low vibration. It was really hard. I felt like I was walking in mud, breathing mud. My emotions were completely off. So was that my expectation because of what people were saying, or are we really affected by lunar eclipses?
You're affected by what you believe you're affected by.
I knew you were going to say that.
No one can create in your reality, not even us. Try as we may, we cannot create in your reality. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do to shake you up and say, snap out of it. Otherwise, this whole world would be fixed. It would be perfect.
Yeah, but what about all these people that are studying the stars and the moons and all these things?
Isn't it fun for them to get to make up stuff? To get to have a reason why they're good. Oh, I don't feel good. It's the moon. It's my wife. It's grandma. It's my damn kids. That's the reason I don't feel good. It's these migraines.
Mm. So no effect whatsoever.
Can you create in another's reality?
No.
Are you the only one who can't do that?
No, but yes. There are greater forces than humans. There's Mother Earth. There's
gravity. There's, if you jump off a cliff, are you blaming gravity? Gravity inner drug me off this cliff and down, and I crashed and died. You're blaming gravity, not your responsibility for jumping off the cliff in the first place. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was trying to fly. Oh, it didn't work.
Yeah,
right?
But hang on. When you get in a rocket and you leave this atmosphere, then you float inside the capsule. There's now, I did not will myself to float.
There's still gravity. Right? You're still falling as you are orbiting the planet. That's gravity making you orbit. You don't feel the same way, but you're still being affected by gravity. You're still being affected by the law of attraction. You're still being affected by universal forces. You're still being affected by mathematics, right? But they don't create in your reality. They can't change your mood. They can't do anything. You're 100% in control of your reality, 100%. You are responsible for everything. You cannot assign responsibility outside of yourself.
Well, hang on. What about this? What if, like, collectively, all the people were believing, we're going to be affected by the lunar eclipse, and then we are affected by all that thought?
How about collectively, all the people are believing that if they control the conditions and the other people, they'll feel better? Has that worked for anybody? No. It hasn't worked for anybody.
We do talk about raising the vibration of the planet through us, choosing a higher perspective. So collectively, we are doing something.
You're raising the vibration of the human race collectively, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say this. Let's say that there's 7 billion people. We'll just say that. And everyone has number one, has a number. They have one atom of positivity. Mm-hmm. And then when they raise their vibration, they now have two atoms of positivity, right? And everyone on the planet does it. So now, instead of 7 billion atoms of positivity, they now have 14 billion atoms. They've raised the vibration of the humans on the planet. Has not affected the planet one bit, because the planet has its own vibration.
Mm-hmm.
Has not affected the vibration of the deer over here, or the birds over here. It's the human culmination. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
As the humans raise vibration, well, some humans will spurt up and their vibration will be really high and they will inspire others to raise their vibration or to live more authentically or to process fear better or to listen to a podcast or to whatever, right? There's those people that are able, by being an example, create a whirlwind around them, but they don't actually raise the person's vibration. They inspire the people to be more aligned, and in that alignment, the people raise their own vibration.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Okay.
Yeah.
So imagine you have someone that you follow, and they do something exciting, and you say, "I could do that too," and so. In that belief that you could also do that too, guess what happens?
I raise my vibration.
Right. Now, they didn't raise your vibration. You chose to allow your own vibration to raise because you were aligned enough to be introduced to them in the first place, to have their them become a vibrational match to their, you know, who they are, whether it was a book you read or a TV show you watched or whatever. They came into your awareness, into your reality. So somehow, how did that happen? How do you think that happened? That your vibration was high enough to encounter us and encounter all the people that are on this call because you just dropped your guard enough to be led in the direction of your interest. And then you found this and you found others and then now you're moving towards other levels of existence in physical reality. You're seeing yourself differently. You're allowing yourself more and more and more and more. And you believe in yourself more. And this opens up to new actions. But we didn't create new reality. We didn't come and grab you and listen to this, read this book. We didn't find you and pick you out and bring you here. You came here. And that's you creating your own reality. That's you taking the steps towards finding your passion, towards your desires being manifested in your reality.
It's and with each step,
always you.
And with each step, we have access to more and more.
With each step, with each passing moment, with each expansion, with each time you process a limiting belief, each time you look at things from a higher perspective, you are accessing higher and higher and higher levels. You are allowing more inspiring ideas to come to you. You are. See, let's just say there are 1,000 inspiring ideas that come to you every day, but they are so filtered that you may not notice them. Most of the time, you're like, dumb idea, dumb idea, dumb idea, dumb idea. That'll never work. That's stupid. Can't do that. Not going to do that. Don't want to do that. And then occasionally, one will come up and go, oh, I can do that. Why not? Let's get that one shot. Occasionally. But let's just say there's 1,000. Imagine if you allowed all 1,000 in. If you were one of those people who would say, yes, do this, more, 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 right? And acted and acted and acted and acted and acted. Well, then, would you be better than you are now? No. You would just be moving along this path at a different rate than you're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
But you're always moving at the rate that you're comfortable with anyway.
Yeah.
And when you say, oh, I know something big's happening. Where's my passion coming from? Well, you're not comfortable with the rate yet.
Mm.
Your rate seems too slow for you. And if you go, oh, so much is happening, it's so overwhelming, well, you're not comfortable with the rate. You perceive it as too much. So you dial it down. Yeah. Yeah. And if you are worried about what everyone thinks about every step of your journey, then you're going to have to be making up a whole bunch of empowering stories to get through it.
Yeah.
Or if you could just let them suffer as they wish in the moment, let them feel bad for a week or two, let them believe whatever they want to believe, and then pick up the pieces after that. Do what you're inspired to do. You'll always be inspired to the proper action, the proper time. It's when you want things to be different than they're inevitably going to be. You're doing this in fear. Yeah. And that's never going to be a benefit to you or them.
Yeah. Good. Thank you so much.
Who else would like to chat?
I would, Joshua. It's Isabel.
Hi, Isabel.
So I think I have our new tagline. Like Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake. Ours should be, Joshua, let them be in fear.
Oh, Isabel. How about just this? Let them be.
Let them be. I like that.
All right. So let them be in fear is not very loving. But it's funny, though, huh?
Yeah. Who are you in fear? They have the potential to identify what caused the fear in the first place. They get to look back and go, you know what? That was silly that I was in fear back then.
Yeah.
I wonder why that was. That doesn't make any sense. It all turned out right. Why was I in fear back then? But if you're going to process their fears for them, well, they never get that chance to look back and say, why was I in fear? Why was I in fear? What am I really afraid of here? What's making me believe that this is bad?
Yeah. Or they may never process the fear.
Well, but it's not up to you or anyone else to rob them of the chance of it. Certainly, they may never process the fear. Certainly, they may cast blame on others. Mm-hmm. Certainly, they may have regrets about their own missed opportunities. But it's not for others to rob them of the chance of finding why they're fearful in the first place. And it's always based on limiting beliefs. So, that you are a 17-year-old boy and your parents get divorced and you feel negative emotion. Why would you feel negative emotion? You're afraid of change. You think it means something about you. You might have an attachment to them as a couple. You might fear that if they go off and meet other people, they're not going to give you the amount of attention you deserve. You might think that now you're talking to other people and you have to say that you come from a broken home. You might have all these things, but they're all irrational fears, aren't they? Mm-hmm. There's nothing bad that's going to happen. You're not going to die as a result of your parents. But at least you get to look at it and say, you know, what is the fear here? What is the limiting belief? Why do I feel negative emotion? So you have a chance to look at it. And maybe you blame your parents for screwing up your whole life. And that's maybe right. You get to use it as an excuse if you want.
Yeah. There's another song, Joshua. Let It Be by the Beatles. I think we're covered.
Let it be. Let them be. Let it all be.
Let
them
be.
How does that song go?
Right. So I did want to talk about something that Gary wrote and posted on Facebook that he channeled from you guys. And this really resonated about not being tied to the conditions that they are, because it could be the conditions from your vibration from the past that arrive today.
Think of a movie. The movie was not filmed while you're watching it. The movie was filmed in the past. Right. So actors had to be assembled, a script had to be written, cameramen had to come on scene, the director had to capture each scene in order or in some order, editor had to put it all together, and a year later, you watch it. Mm-hmm. That's what your reality is. Your reality is simply this ongoing movie that was cast and directed and edited in the past, whether that was a minute ago or the culmination of years of this vibrational. Once you have vibration, then your reality is going to change, because your reality is a combination of things. It's a we'll just say this. Your reality is brand new every moment, right? But your vibration is a combination of things. It's a combination of who you think you were when you were a kid, who you think you were last week, how you think you've grown, who you think you are in the world, how you think the world is, how you feel right now. What do you believe in the future? What are your desires? What did you intend to explore prior to your birth? What's your interest? What are your passions? What's the job that you have? What do other people think you are? Or who do other people think you are? All of that works together. Now, you could literally switch all of the past off and be someone completely different, and your reality would reflect that. Mm. But since you cannot rid yourself of your beliefs, you could only dial them down or up. You're going to have this awareness that things are following a predictable course. You wake up in the morning, all the furniture looks exactly the same as it did the night before.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's because that's in your beliefs. You expect it to be there. Occasionally, things don't come in exactly as they were before, and that seems weird to you.
Mm.
Right? But most of it matches how you believe it should be. Most of your life, the vast majority, adequately reflects who you think you are right now and who you thought you were yesterday and who you thought you were a week ago. And if you are making great change in your life, well, that great change might lead to new conditions, but they still have an attachment or a timeline to the past. You just don't. Here you are in 2018, and who you were in 2008 is a completely, absolutely different person. Mm-hmm. But yet, you can trace back to who you were. And so that who you are now makes sense given who you were. Because if it didn't make sense what you believe about yourself, then this reality would have no purpose. It has to make sense to you. That allows you to explore it. If it didn't make sense, it'd be like a dream where just crazy things happen in the dream. There's real exploration done in the dream, right? Not as deeply as you can in physical reality. Not, you can't really do the same exploration in non-physical reality either. That's why because everything carries along, has a trail. It's the law of expansion, the law of continuity. It all keeps it seeming as if it's this journey that makes sense to you. Don't worry about what exists right now. Just realize that it's a culmination of how you feel about yourself, what you believe, what you think should happen, what you sort of expect. It all makes sense. It has to make sense.
Hmm.
So now, why do you ask this question?
So I'm beginning to really feel stuff is multidimensionally and not so linear. And I don't know, I was looking at my house and I'm really calm with it. So it's funny, Tracy actually teased me because Gary's kitchen floor is probably going to be complete before mine. And I laughed and I said, you know, it's perfect. Like, it's totally fine. And I really meant it. But I was just laughing and I'm like, huh, is that so curious? That is that my old belief system and that's why I don't have a kitchen floor? Did I create that condition? I'm not really tied to the outcome. I don't know. I was just playing with that idea because I know this is an illusion and I know this is a dream and I know this is to birth new desires and to play. I don't know. It just feels like I'm in the two worlds. Like I can see it and I'm in it.
Yeah. Well, that's a very good way to be, is to be able to take a step back from a higher perspective and see what's unfolding in reality from an analytical point of view, from a curiosity standpoint, is mm-hmm. you can see how things are coming and how they relate to the vibration. And it's a mirror, right? So if your floor is taking a long time, why is that?
I think one of my beliefs is I really don't want to nag. Like, you know, it's funny because people will say these words to me. Right. Why don't you nag your husband?
Right. Why would you nag your husband? How is that? You want to just change the conditions, right?
Right.
You want him to be different than he is.
Right.
Why would anyone do that?
Yeah. So I live with that floor.
Well, or you live with the floor.
Right. You know. Or accept the floor as is.
See, by hating the floor and by blaming him for the floor.
Right.
Right. Saying, one, I'm a victim to someone else's actions.
Exactly.
And two, this reality doesn't match who I am, where we know for a fact it matches exactly who you are. Right.
Otherwise, it couldn't exist. Right.
Otherwise, it couldn't exist, and it would make no sense to you.
It would make no sense.
And it would serve zero purpose.
Exactly. Right.
So good. You're a master of floor that's going to be beautiful when it gets done, but doesn't have to be done right now.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you say, as most humans would, I don't feel good about this floor. I have no power over this floor because I'm not the one putting it in. Mm-hmm. The person who has power is my husband, and so I'm going to blame him. Now, if he would work faster, then the floor would be done faster. Makes sense. How do I get him to work faster? Well, I have to tell him that he's not doing fast enough. I have to pressure him. I have to do something. I have to change him. I have to make him different.
Mm-hmm. And that's changing the conditions, right? Yeah. So I really like the line, and I think that's why it resonated. It actually gave me a lot of peace to look at the conditions, not necessarily judge it as it allowed me not to judge the conditions as is, as a very neutral thing, by knowing that it's in my reality because it's a mirror to me, but at the same time, it could be the mirror of my past and the future, just it's going to catch up.
Right. And it also could be there as a perfect manifestation event. Now,
right.
In reality, is there any difference between the floor as it is now and the floor when it's finished? It's still a floor.
It's still a floor.
Right? What's the difference going to be when it's finished? It's going to look different than it does now.
Right. And I might have a stove. Right.
You're going to say, okay, the floor is nicer than it was before. The floor is more practical than it was before. It's easier to clean. There's a lot of benefits to the floor. But it's still a floor, and it's still a judgment between how it is now and how it will be.
Right.
So really nothing's different other than how you perceive it. So you are saying to yourself, I perceive the floor as it is now as wrong. And I perceive the floor when it's finished as right. But that is still a judgment on your behalf, right? You can make a different judgment right now. Now, obviously, certainly, everyone's going to want a new floor and no one's going to want an old floor. But that's a choice. And if you realize that you're making a choice when that happens. Now, how about this? I can have a new floor with a very pissed off husband. Or I can have this floor with a husband who's doing his thing and I'm accepting of him. Which would you rather have then?
Right. And it goes with the same idea of if I can fly on a jet plane, a private jet plane, it shows that I'm worthy. If I have a beautiful house, it shows that I'm worthy. If I have a lot of money in the bank, it shows that I'm secure. If I have a beautiful kitchen, then I am worthy of a beautiful kitchen. Do you know what I mean? It's so easy to go down that slope to judge the conditions to validate who you are.
Yeah, you have your friends come over. They're like, living the old approach to life. And they're saying, what's the deal with this floor? Why don't you get this floor done? What's wrong with you? Right?
Right, right.
So they're living the old approach to life. You go, really? What's the difference between now, this floor, and the floor in the future? One pissed off husband. That's the difference. What would you want? What would you really want? If you thought about it, if you knew you were a being of love, would you prefer to be the person that can figure out a way how to be content, aligned, happy, curious, interested in how this whole process can take out, but while at the same time perfectly accepting your husband as he is? Would you prefer to be that person, or would you prefer to be a person who controls every aspect of the conditions?
Yeah. It just stresses you out anyways. You know, like, so
I'm not upset about it.
Does not have to stress you out. Yeah.
No, it doesn't. But I'm saying trying to control.
Stress you out.
Yes.
Yeah, that will stress you out.
Yeah, if you try to control someone, I'm telling you, it is stressful. And Wendy, this goes back to your body and your overeating perception. If you accept your body as is, knowing that it was your older vibration of thought that this is the shape of your body, and know that it just hasn't caught up to the new you, I think it will ease your, I think it will ease it and you can love your body easier. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. I've already started that a little bit, as well, to be honest with you. Like, I love, like, aspects of my leg or my arm. You know what I mean? And Kyla has helped me a lot with that, too.
Kyla is great on body image. Kyla, thank you so much for helping us. Because, Joshua, I'm telling you, as females, and I know it's us and blah, 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 but I am telling you, it's work. It's really work to process, to love our bodies as they are today.
It's work because you believe that by loving something unconditionally, that it won't change.
Yep, I know. And thank you for that little gem today. Mm-hmm. That was a great gem because that's not intuitive. That's not intuitive.
It's counterintuitive.
It really is.
Exactly the opposite of what you think. Because when you were raised with your parents who told you to be different than you were.
Mm-hmm.
They were not loving the parts of you they did not like because they believed that those parts would not change.
Yeah. Yes. And you know what you would hear growing up, Joshua? This is what I heard. But don't encourage her. Don't encourage that bad behavior. You're enabling her. Yeah. You know?
Don't encourage the good behavior either, because that's just a judgment call on your part. You know, if you take a kid and say, oh, I'm so proud of you for doing well in math, then they will try and do well in math to get your love.
Right.
Yeah.
Where math may not play any real role in their life. And then you set down this course because you think that they're doing cool. You're interested in poetry. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Good. It's good to be interested in poetry. Maybe.
Yeah.
How about just be neutral? Okay. Mm-hmm. You like that? Good. You like it? Fine. Whatever you like. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
No need to encourage. No need to discourage. Just let it be.
Let it be.
Let it be.
Let it be.
Our new theme song.
Yeah.
Let them be.
Let them be. Yeah, we got to slightly change it.
Let they be.
Let they be. Let thy be.
Be as they may be. Let thy be.
Let's go, thespian.
Let die alone. I love you for playing video games. I love you for riding skateboards. I love you no matter what you do. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. I don't care. Why would I care? Why would I care what you came here to explore?
Yeah.
Why would I care? Because I could feel fear. Well, I'll process that. You do what you do, and I'll process my fear every step of the way. That's why you're here. That's the approach to life that's actually going to work for you and for everyone else. And that's the example you get to teach people, especially the little ones. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Is there anyone else who'd like to say something?
I've had a pretty amazing day today. And a pretty amazing few days. And it tied back into what you were, well, everything you've said to everyone pretty much, but especially when you were talking to Allison, about inspiration and even being aware that it's happening. And so that's something that I've been thinking about as you've been talking about over the past couple of years, but I've been finding myself more and more aware. And also I've gotten a lot more practice at detaching from the outcome and, I mean, processing fears, yes, but also just letting it be, I guess. Anyway, so a year ago, or I don't know when, but it was after the first cruise, I'd just gotten back, like we'd all gotten back to Gary's house before we flew out. And I was about to go to sleep after a lot of just awake time. And I was lying there and this domain name popped in my head as I was dozing off to sleep. And I got up out of bed because I was just in like such a high vibe. It just felt easy to just, this is inspiration. And I just got up and I bought the domain. And then, so over the past, whatever, I don't know, year or 2 years, I don't know. There have been times when I got attached to an outcome where I thought, oh, it's supposed to be this. Oh, it's supposed to look like this. And I've had several false starts. And as I've been over the past few months, really up-leveling, I guess, on some of my beliefs that have been holding me back from all the stuff that I talked to you guys about. It's in the past, I mean, 2 weeks, it's all just snowballing to where it's happening. And like the next steps are like laying themselves out for me. But I'm also just diving in open and ready to play and curious. And so now all the right people are just showing up at all the right time when I'm in the quote unquote wrong place. Like I was supposed to be somewhere else, but I end up in this place. And then there's two people. So it's fun to be in the part of the cycle where everything seems to, I mean, where I'm, where everything is very obviously working out, you know, where I am able to be in just such a state of allowing that all of these things are showing up.
Yeah. So imagine that you have this inspiration and the old approach to life is, how am I going to make this happen? Mm-hmm. What am I going to do this happen? Where is this going to go? Where do I see it? But look at who you were when you had that inspiration, who you are now, and all the things that had to happen yeah. every day of your life from that point to now,
right.
to make you who you are now, ready for to unfold as it was going to unfold. And luckily enough, you didn't take any major action.
Yeah.
You didn't try and make things happen. You played around with things and explored things. But also along the way, you tend to beat yourself up for not doing more.
Right.
Anyone else would have had the whole thing going by now and, mm-hmm. and had this whole big thing made by now. And here I am just knocking around in my head. What you're doing is you're allowing your vibration to be raised in the right time so that you can rendezvous with the right people at the right time. And,
right.
and how many times have you seen people do something where the timing was totally wrong?
Yeah.
And that years later, that thing got adopted. But when they did it, they were the ones with it in their backs.
Yeah.
You know, because they were moving, trying to make things happen. They were trying to move too quickly.
It was one of those moments. Oh, I was just thinking, I had this moment of clarity on that, on thinking. I was talking to Tina this morning and talking about how on podcasts I've cried to you, like, what have I been doing with my life? Is this question that I've asked myself. But lately it's become really clear how the only thing wrong was that I thought I should be farther ahead, and how at those times when I didn't feel like I was doing anything, I was making connections. I was talking to people. I was learning more about these things that I'm really interested in, you know?
You were expanding.
Right.
Exactly. Now, you can sit there and say, oh, I have know this big thing is coming.
Right.
But nothing's really happening. And you can use that as your excuse to be out of alignment.
Right.
Or you can say, everything's working out perfectly. Everything's happening at the right time. It has to be July of 2018 for this to happen. I can't make July of 2018 come any quicker than it's going to come.
Right.
All I can do is be ready when it does come. And all I can do but to be ready is to practice being in alignment. Practice choosing a higher perspective, having faith, trying to feel good, reducing stress, seeing things as good and not bad, focusing on what I like. And that's what you've been doing.
Yeah.
You've been practicing, and so now you're ready.
Yeah. And I can feel it. I can feel a shift. I mean, I feel a shift within me, and then I can see almost immediate feedback around me. I have just become a magnet. I don't know. I mean, I've been practicing paying attention to what activates me, what lights me up, and then using that.
Yeah.
But it's been a lot of just exercise in letting it be and being willing to be in uncomfortable situations and figuring out how to be okay in those. I've had a lot of that, but it's been uncomfortable.
The uncomfortable part is pushing through fear.
Right.
That's all that is.
Right.
It's not really uncomfortable. It's this moving through fear. It's moving through negative emotion. It's putting yourself in a position where you can feel negative emotion.
Yeah.
putting yourself out there is testing the boundaries of your negative emotion. And as you get better and better at processing that negative emotion, realizing who you really are, being authentic as you are, well, what you might think would be an uncomfortable situation now is you laugh at 5 years from now.
Yeah.
Like, I really was worried about that. Right. That's just crazy. I'm so comfortable now. I'm so comfortable doing what I do now. Back then, in the beginning, I was so uncomfortable. Well, you just have to move through that uncomfortability, gain confidence, because you've done it. You know it hadn't killed you. Mm. You know nothing really bad happened. In fact, everything good happened.
Right.
Yeah. Confidence and faith. Very good. Mm. Is there any more to that, or you?
Well, okay. There's a lot more to that. But something that was interesting, you and I think it was Nikki talking about the moon and the planetary, you know, and how it can affect us. And the way I was just thinking about the way that it makes sense to me, because I paid attention to that as an event. And what it seemed like to me was an excuse, a device, basically, for people to be able to come together and have a way to express these things that is happening on a collective level. So it's not that the moon is doing it to us, but the moon is like a way to express what's happening with us. It's a thing that we can use as a representation of.
So can Christmas. So can Thanksgiving. So can all these things, right? So can a national election. Yeah. So can a tragedy. Yeah. So can all these things, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you use that as an excuse to feel good or to feel bad. Excellent. Mercury in retrograde, sun flares, tides, all these things, right? Use whatever you want as an excuse. Your kid's upset. Your kid's happy. Mm. You're using that as an excuse. The kid says, Mommy, I love you. Use that excuse to feel good. Kid says, Mommy, I hate you. Use that as an excuse to feel bad. You use everything as an excuse, but you get to choose what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You think that things are really clicking now. And you say that's good. Right?
I feel good.
And you say you feel good. We say use everything you can as an excuse to feel good.
Well, yeah.
And then think a little bit more about the things you're using as an excuse to feel bad. And you'll find that there's inherent beauty and truth in the things you're using to feel good, because they're based in love. And there's nothing true and only falsehoods in the things you use as an excuse to feel bad. Mm. If you really think about why anything makes you feel bad, you'll always trace it back to some limiting beliefs and some fear that is not true.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm seeing too, is that it's hard to even take myself seriously when I,
right.
I mean, I take the feeling bad seriously, but it's hard to take myself seriously when I'm outsourcing it to any, like, you know, trying to place the responsibility for it on anybody. And my kids, like, it still happens there. But even then, like, in the midst of, I'm just like, okay, all right. I know that I have complete ownership over this. Okay, so maybe the feeling bad feels less bad, but it feels bad compared to the feeling good still.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. And so you can look at anything that makes you feel good, and you can say, you can be empowered by all of that. And you say, I attracted this. I maintained my alignment long enough. I pushed through the fear and acted on the inspiration. I got myself into this higher vibrational state of being so I would be receptive to this. This is all happening for me. It's all happening perfectly. It's exactly how I intended prior to my birth. And then if something bad happens, you go, look at that. That's just a little fear. It doesn't mean anything. I'm not attached to that. It's something that would have triggered me years ago. Now I'm seeing it as a much softer and less important manifestation event. No biggie. Everything's easy. It's not a big deal. I don't have to get anything done. I'm never going to get it finished anyway. Who cares? Why bother? No big deal. All this stuff is self-imposed stress, self-imposed limitations. I can forget all about that and just focus on what feels good. This feels good. This feels good. This feels good. I know that my prior self would say, you can't always be doing what feels good. That's irresponsible. My new self says, moving towards that which feels good is always the right path for me. And while other people may not see it that way, I can always work on that. I can always process that. I can always process what they say. And then you're going to just find yourself flowing into more and more stuff that you want. And that's all that this life is about flowing into more and more stuff that you want. Not because it means anything about you. Not because it does anything for you other than to be a feedback mechanism.
Right. Well, that's
what I've designed your life to feel good.
That's what I'm loving about this. Because what you're saying, you know, like always move toward that which feels good. Like I've spent a lot of time thinking about like, what is the actual feel good? What is it that feels good? What is it that is at the source of all of this desire? And so for me, what feels good is to be me. And I've gotten a lot more malleable in what that, you know, I mean, you've helped me with that by giving me the one liner, like pure, you know, magnificent, pure, positive, limitless, whatever. As long as I feel like I'm being true to me, I generally feel good, you know? And so that's what I've noticed. And so that's all I've been acting on. So I love this stuff that's popping up, not because it's like, oh, I'm finally going to do all the things I wanted to do, or, oh, now I'm going to be that person I thought I would be. It's that I've gotten to a place where I've like had a lot of shit and I've just surrendered over and over and over and just focused only on being me and like being aware when I'm not being me and then figuring out why it is, what the differentiator is, and then getting back to being me. And now all of this stuff is just popping up and dropping in my lap and I'm just being, it's like I'm being rewarded for just being me, which is what I've been wanting all along.
Right. That's what the universe is doing. They're giving you instances where being you is the most effective way to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And that feels so good to
it
you.
It does. It right? does.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to feel that specific thing isn't what's going to feel good for everyone because everyone is different. Everyone has a unique thing they're working through. But for you, being who you were was just, say, criticized in the past, right? And you wanted to be different than who you were so that you wouldn't be – so you would be loved and accepted. Mm-hmm. And now you say, no, who I am is all that I ever want to be. Mm-hmm. And when I am who I really am, authentically who I am, it feels good. And then when I am who I am authentically – conditions support being who I am, and that feels good. Mm-hmm. All of your power in this life is coming to you, and you're being aware of it by being who you authentically are for you. See, your exploration is authenticity of who you are. Mm-hmm. And many people's exploration is similar to that. And so that's why being who you are, when you know, finally surrendering to who you are, and being successful at being who you are and getting feedback that says being who you are is the best version of you that's ever existed. That feels really good to you. Mm-hmm. And now you have a whole lifetime to explore that, especially the feeling good part of it. Mm-hmm. Because really the power for you is going to come in being absolutely authentic.
Yeah.
Yeah. By saying that every single aspect of who you are, your fingernails, your personality, your sense of humor, what you think is interesting, that is all 100% perfect. And you can love every aspect. And there is no aspect of yourself that isn't perfect. There is no aspect of anyone who's listening to this that isn't perfect. If you think it's not perfect, that you're choosing to be upset about something.
Yeah.
Right. It's a choice that you make. It's your excuse for not feeling good. But you can look at the exact same thing and say, no, that is perfect. 100% of everything you can say that is perfect.
Well, like Wendy was saying.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, like Wendy was saying with the mirroring thing, I think I've said this before, but that the more I've focused on accepting every aspect of myself like that, it just becomes so easy to accept it in to accept everybody else's aspects, all of them, and to see the perfection in them too.
And the easier it is for you to see the perfection in others, the easier it is for you to see the perfection in yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah. Very good. Well, this has been an exciting conversation. And thanks to you, you've brought us to heights that we never expected to reach, to pull down nuggets such as let them be. We'll remember that forever. And other wise words that are 100% attributable to you living on this leading edge of thought and you reaching for more and more and more and your willingness to play with us at this time, every week, every other week, whatever it is. And so for that, we thank you. And we're complete. Goodbye.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.